The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
It is time, and hello, my darlings. This is Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I am your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Kara Kittrick. Kara, do you have any news for us today?
Yes, I do, though I can't help but feel you beginning this show and no other show with It Is Time is vaguely ominous.
It's arrived.
Like, it's getting have the stars aligned? Is the prophecy fulfilled?
Yeah, what's his face? David Mead? I'm getting all meat on that one.
Yeah, that's true.
It's getting meaty. Yeah.
All right, I'm going on to the
what
news.
What news do we got? Yeah.
This is silliness. So, in just ridiculous news, a tweet by James Comey, which QAnon theorists claimed contained a hidden message, threw Grass Valley, California into chaos last month. Comey's tweet listed a handful of the jobs he had had in the past, along with the hashtag, #5JobsI've Had. However, conspiracy theorists argued that by removing letters, the hashtag could be shortened to 5Jihad, and that the first letter of every job he listed spelled GVCSF, which could stand for Grass Valley Charter School Foundation. They therefore concluded that a deep state attack on the local charter school's fundraising event in May was imminent. If this strikes you as utterly insane, you are, of course, correct. There was no danger whatsoever. Nonetheless, the fundraiser was canceled because the school feared conspiracy theorists might show up and attempt to cause trouble. The QAnon theorist responsible for the event, was an avid follower of QAnon, as was Joe M., a Twitter account with over 100,000 followers who spread the word, saying, quote, "Nothing better happen at Grass Valley Charter School on their May 11th event." Dale Harder with the Cleveland Ufology Project, one of the oldest UFO organizations in the country, made news recently by stating that Northeast Ohio is a hotspot for UFO sightings. Indeed, sighting statistics from MUFON do appear to place Ohio in the top 5 states in the country for UFO sightings. UFO eyewitness Michael Lee Hill, also hailing from Ohio, agrees, saying, quote, "Definitely look up. You never know when you might catch something." And finally, a New Zealand scientist is leading an expedition to the world's most famous Scottish lake next month to try to prove that the Loch Ness Monster is, in fact, merely an enormous catfish. Their plan is to take 300 samples from around the lake at different depths, then filter and extract the DNA from the water for analysis to find out what different species are living in it. They should have answers by the end of the year. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right. I'm going with the catfish first.
Indeed.
Giant catfish would be pretty shocking, I gotta say. So, if it ends up being a giant, I mean, how giant are we talking?
They grow up to 13 feet long.
Yeah, that's not Loch Ness size. So, I mean, monster, that's not Nessie size. So
no, it's not as big as the police.
If we're dealing with a catfish the size of Nessie, consider me not disappointed.
No, that would also be fairly terrifying, but I don't think that's what they're talking about. I think they're... So there have been previous attempts to find Nessie, of course, you know, ranging from the scientific to the kind of Shark Week level of investigative, you know, reporting. But some of them have found, like, huge creatures in the lake, just like with sonar and stuff.
Right.
Movement of that sort. So they're thinking, yeah, those are probably really big catfish.
I don't know. I don't know. This is my wife's favorite cryptid, and actually for Mother's Day, I got her a bookmark of a Nessie that goes on top of your book.
You got her a bookmark for Mother's Day.
Well, and a pot shaped like a sloth.
Okay.
So.
That's fine.
You're doing your duty there.
I've
been married for 15 years. I got a lot of stuff over the years, you know.
Yeah, that's fair.
Starting to run out of stuff together.
I can't judge.
Although my brother-in-law, apparently my wife's sister's like all about getting a diamond. And like my mother-in-law was saying like, oh yeah, she likes to get a diamond. And I'm just all, if Terry needed a diamond every Mother's Day, we would get a divorce due to just basic financial disagreements on what we needed to be sending on Mother's Day.
No,
it would
be like...
So I'm
going
to ask Long and see if this is true or not. It might not be true.
It would be like, look, honey, a diamond. And she'd be like, this is a piece of a broken bottle.
Yeah,
and you'd be like, a diamond.
This does not look like a sloth at all. Cleveland Ufology, Northeast Ohio. I don't know. Well, I mean, they got to be famous for something. Isn't Ohio where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is?
I have no idea, but that would explain what happened to Elvis.
They do have the Cleveland Rock song, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny how these hotbeds sort of move around, you know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, right now, if you want to see strange lights in the sky, go to Cleveland. Or Area 51, I guess.
Right. I spent a week in Cleveland looking for UFOs one night. And then James Comey with his jihad at Grass Valley, whatever. That is asinine. I don't know. Completely insane, right? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well,
how is that a thing? I'm a conspiracy guy. I sit here, and I like to – you know, part of my problem with some of these – I don't want to say – some of these conspiracies coming from the deep right. I know a lot of people who are into conspiracies have right-leaning beliefs. I'm not saying that they're all into this, but some of these on the deep right are really just kind of
nuts. Yeah,
nuts and
well, so
really
the
kind of
the
neat.
Thing about that, if you're thinking about like Pizzagate and all of that, that's all QAnon.
Yeah. Okay.
Like,
so what
this
is QAnon?
All,
QAnon is
an anonymous poster on 4chan, basically, who, for whatever reason, an enormous number of people have decided has, you know, the inside scoop on everything that's happening in government, politics, whatever.
How hard is it to post anonymously on 4chan?
Well, you have to...
I mean, our government is obviously chasing down, you know, Russians that used Bitcoin to buy computers to do this stuff, and they're figuring that out, and we can't figure out this 4chan guy?
Yeah, well, it might not be one person, but how hard it is to actually post is not hard at all. It's anonymous. You go to the site and you click post.
So we could do it.
Yeah, anyone can post.
All right. We got to come up with some stuff. Let's try to come up with something just over the top.
We could be QAnon.
We could be QAnon.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, some of these government conspiracy ones are a little too in-depth. If we take a look at history...
Once you get to, like, the playing Led Zeppelin lyrics backwards level, it's kind of like, it's hard to believe.
I've met a lot of druggies in my time. I've met a lot of people who were tweaking and doing LSD and stuff like this. And all these intricate schemes that people come up with, most of them did not have jobs. People who are looking to take over the world are probably going to be a little to the point of... we're going to control them, we're going to kill them, and stuff's going to happen, and that's where it's at. You know, it's not like all, we're going to put in some secret jihad message in our Twitter accounts. You know, that is not Machiavellian. You know, it's like, that's not happening.
Well, just going by statistics, there's probably about 3 million people with just paranoid symptoms in the United States, which, judging by a quick look online, they're all on Twitter.
Well, now they're all going to be after us.
No, that's our followers. That's our base.
Oh, well, then, you know.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Keep it real. Let's keep going. Yeah, yeah. Now, you know, I like all these conspiracies and stuff like that, but I'm also a realist, and anybody trying to control the world is going to do a better job than that. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we have our guest Samuel Hoffman giving us an update on Nibiru. So come on back.
She's got it, yeah, baby, she's got it. Have you heard the latest? Gavin Newsom and his liberal allies want to overturn Prop 13 so they can raise property taxes. They even want a new tax on our water. That's why we need Kevin Kiley in the state Senate. Kevin Kiley is the only candidate for Senate with a perfect rating from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Kevin Kiley will fight to stop Newsom's water tax and save Prop 13. Republican Kevin Kiley, the tax fighter for state Senate.
Paid for by Kevin Kiley for Senate 2019.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. North State Now is brought to you by Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, every Thursday night at 6 p.m., right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta spring water come from?
Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta.
Uncle Bob, where did I come from?
You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227. Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Samuel Hoffman. Samuel, do we have you there with us?
Yes, you do. How are you doing tonight?
Not bad. It's been almost a year to the day since we had you on last, I think.
Awesome, awesome.
Yeah.
That's what I think Andrea and Kara were saying. Is that right?
Yeah, I really like that because we're talking about, you know, something that's going on that's like sort of cyclical and cosmic and astronomical in nature. So getting an update once a year seems like a good way to do it.
It follows an Earth rotation.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense.
And it's also, you know, the new start of the 180-day cycle, so that, you know, we're also seeing far more amounts of activity going on right now as of the transition from April to May.
Well, let's start right into it. For our guests, we're talking about Nibiru with our guest Samuel Hoffman. If you want to find out more about him, you can check him out on Facebook, Montana Skywatchers, while we're talking about this. Okay, so what is the 100, you're saying the 180-day cycle, you said?
Yeah, it was something that we picked up on the Internet years ago. People were watching a cycle, And they were noting a level of different activities, you know, mystically, cosmically, and all this sort of stuff. And I started paying attention to it. And it actually did sort of match what was going on with the asteroid fields and everything else. And I'm sure you've heard recently, you know, the announcements by NASA. They've been over four or five major, well, sort of not major, but there have been soft disclosures that they've been throwing out that are kind of alarming. And I hope you heard them. But
why don't you give me some examples? I catch a lot of them. My brain's a mess of info.
They started talking about they were going to start these drills with, you know, the understanding that an asteroid of 1,000 feet or so across would hit the Earth. And then a couple of days later, they started talking about the numbers of objects that were in our area. And then a couple of days later went by, and then they announced, well, you can count on having an asteroid of size hit Earth within our lifetimes, period. They were saying not if, but when. And then on the literally on the fourth major one that I took note of, they were actually discussing what their results of the simulation were. It was going to hit New York, and 1,350,000 people were going to die within, you know, X amount of radius blast zone and all of this. So they're basically, you know, soft disclosure prepping us for what we've, you know, been watching at Montana Sky Watcher come in for just about 7 years. We started having these sightings of this little blip in the upper left-hand part of a lot of the captures, and it was oddly shaped and rainbowy and weird, and then over time it got bigger and bigger, and then we kept our eye on it. And of course, to this day now, we have thousands of the pictures to what we call the object cluster group, because we've noticed many numerous very large asteroids, smaller asteroids, and then just mile after mile after mile behind it in rainbow refracting debris with electrical discharging. And I'm sure we probably talked about the OCG here a year or two back.
Yeah.
But probably briefly. But anyway.
So is it your thought that these asteroids are coming with
field normally at this time of year with our normal solar system, the one that everybody knows about, and Halley's Comet is recently going by here at this point in time also, and then we had the exiting of a couple of major asteroids that they've been watching leave our solar system, and there was all this to-do about that. Of course, most of it's distracted. But there is a group of asteroids that orbit underneath the middle batch of the rotating Nibiru group. Now, under Yuri Attu's moon, there is this vast, vast field of asteroids. And we came to discover this over time as they got closer and closer and closer from roughly 2012, 2013, 2014. We started seeing these rainbow debris ion cool things going off in space. And of course, NASA and everybody who, you know, was talking to some of us, some of our scientist friends, were saying, oh, no, that's ice debris in our atmosphere. And then we kept seeing these repeated patterns of shape and grouping and everything else. And so we kept watching this. And about 2014, 2015, they started getting so close and started passing within actual very close distance to Earth. And then 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019, they're one of the major asteroids has been crossing within Earth's ionosphere and in between us and the moon, and where it literally goes from east coast to west coast. And we just went through that pattern about a week and a half ago. Some really phenomenal footage has been just coming in from around the world. And, you know, that's what's really cool about, you know, all of these citizen scientists members who just, you know, pro-am report, and they take their captures in their area, and then we compare these pictures. And when these things are all coming in at the same time in Scotland and in Indonesia or in New Zealand or Africa, I don't have too many people in Africa. I have one guy that throws in some good. Anyway, I digress. When all of this stuff comes in together at the same time, we know that this is not just some silly little cloud pattern that has a repeated shape over and over and over, including this major stripes and everything else and placement. And then there was a period of time back in 2016, 2017, I don't remember exactly the date, but we had a close pass where I saw the freakiest lightning storm I've ever seen in my entire life. And I love storms. And I'm up here in Montana. And it went by, and all of these lightning bolts come blasting out of the same location over and over and striking the same place. And it's like, how can that do? You know, because lightning supposedly doesn't strike. But when you're seeing it do it 11 times, in the same spot. And the most largest lightning bolt you've ever seen in your life. And that happened here recently to some other folks on the East Coast, and they sent me the pictures in last week. And so we're seeing these asteroids, and they are orbiting on a standard rotational daily process where they round, and we can see them as they rotate under these circulating planets that go by us and now over our heads. And they're so close to their sky pillars. I mean, these things are phenomenal. And we see the constant repeated cloud patterns in the base clouds and over the last 10 years. Now, we've been doing it 10 years this July that we've been sighting the passing planets, from first seeing them coming in under us in Antarctica and all the way to the point where they got a horizontal around 2011. And then we saw them standardly in our sky zone in the northern hemisphere from 2012 on. So this is something we've been watching every day for 10 years now, and this is so documented. Anyway, this asteroid group is below the planets, and the passing planets are now going past Earth and becoming partially illuminated, just like they did last year, but they're actually in a closer orbital rotation along with Earth. And it's been affecting our magnetosphere. It's been affecting our Earth, you know, about all that flooding that's going on, you know, from literally from Texas all the way up to, you know, Pittsburgh. And all of this weather is a direct effect of this rotational close passes. It's like sticking a large spoon in a big pot and stirring it.
And Samuel, we're coming up not too far on commercial break, probably 2 or 3 minutes here. I wanted to ask you a quick question before we went, because I knew you you used to do some work with the government and stuff like that. So all this talk of an asteroids being, what's your take on our government or the world's government's abilities to actually stop something like this from hitting us if we know it's coming?
I actually met the guy that did the real computations for the movie that they did. I can't remember the name, but Armageddon. Yeah,
yeah, that or Deep
and
Impact.
I knew that he works. he's from the German Polytechnic, and I talked to him. He was a member of Montana Skywatcher briefly. I believe they don't have any ability to deal with, because these are so vast and so huge you wouldn't believe.
I see.
You know, the bomb in the middle of it isn't going to deal with what's up there. There's not just one thing. There's millions.
Right.
Millions.
Right. Yeah, well, when the other take is, and I know you're not, you have a different view than the gravitational view, but one idea is that we gravitationally pull them away.
Well, it doesn't really, with the object cluster group and the major close larger groups, there's a certain electrical property that's going along with this. It's having a discharge effect when it hits our atmosphere, and I believe it has to do with the fact it's probably made up of a lot of more metal, where they're highly more charged. And when they introduce themselves into our ionosphere, which has also been showing up on the magnetosphere pictures, where this disruption in the magnetosphere that's, to you know, the standard people is unexplainable, but I understand it because I watch it every day. And it there's direct, visible, factual proof that we've got these magnetic electrical objects that are passing within our ionosphere and our magnetosphere, and they're affecting everything. And we've also cycled cross-reference this to, you know, stellar material from CMEs, and it's not that. So we've disproved that. So it's falling into place that these larger ones are skipping off of us. They're electrically pushing away, which is what the larger bodies and the planets do as well. When they come in too close, they shove each other away with the numerous series of electrical purple lightning bolts. Now, we never had purple lightning up until 2010, and that's also been a lot of direct proof that this is going on.
Well, that seems like a good pause point. We're coming up on our first break here. You're listening to our guest, Samuel Hoffman. You want to find out more about him while we're talking, go to Montana Skywatchers. They're on Facebook. And if you want to find out more, you better come on back. You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
Sometimes when this place gets kind of empty, sound of the breath fades with the lights. I think about the loveless fascination under the Milky Way tonight. Lower the curtain down Memphis. Lower the curtain down on right. I got no time. Private consultation.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at RadioWasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Samuel Hoffman. We're talking about Nibiru. I always say Nibiru. What do you say, Samuel?
I say Nibiru.
Nibiru, okay. Yeah, I've gotten back and forth on that one. I'm not really sure, but in our defense, I think it comes from a dead language. So,
I believe it's Sumerian.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely Sanskrit.
Yeah, yeah.
Or actually, excuse me, cuneiform.
Every time I think of Sanskrit, I think of that movie PCU, where he's just all, you're majoring in a 5,000-year-old dead language, you know, and then he gives him a paper on Spanish.
Well, there were so many back then, and, you know, that all boils back to the last cycle as well. Most of the major civilizations that developed a good portion of these languages, early languages, are completely discounted and not even understood as being at the same time period of the Nibiru cycle. I just recently watched a thing on the BBC thing by Michael Wood on China and also on India, etc. I watch a lot of this stuff. But anyway, the Aryans in Western India, their civilizations all decayed and declined and moved from their original locations. So did riverbanks and everything. And then this was all at the beginning of that same last cycle, which was 3,654 to 57 years ago. Roughly 1650, 1670, I was going to do the math tonight on that. I totally forgot because I forgot the number. But 1650-ish back on B.C. And, of course, that's where they had a change in dynasties in Egypt, a change in dynasties in China. At that point in time, there was roughly 400 or so million people on the planet at the time. And civilizations all changed, and they were all discussing climate change in all of their written texts that we read and observe today. So, you know, and people discount it too much, and it's the end of the Mycenaean period and just at the beginning of the Bronze Age.
So with this talk of language and history, now might be a great time to ask this question. You know, you can't talk about Nibiru without people thinking of Zachariah Sitchin, without people making the comparison and stuff like that. And I know you have a different view on a lot of the stuff that Sitchin thought. But when it comes to the sort of history, the ancient histories of Nibiru and life and our leaders there, or our controllers, our omnipressors, or whatever. Do you follow that aspect of it?
Well, that depends on which faction you're referring to, because there are multiple factions, and I'm glad you brought that up, because your co-host, I know he'd be interested in a lot of this stuff. We've been citing the Texas Cube, and we've been citing the Empire Orb again, and they've been right in the front of the Object Cluster Group, and which has just been right next to vastly large currently and Earth-passing Attu's moon. It has gotten so close and so big this year as do pass that it's just, I mean, it's mind-boggling. It's actually illuminating the skies at night, and we've seen numerous sightings of purple illuminated skies at night on the backside of Earth, which proves they're there. I mean, we've had absolute proof over the last 10 years that they're there, but I just love it when we really, really see it. And we're looking at the times of absolute proof, documented evidence that extraterrestrial beings are here, and they did get through the Texas, that's why we call it the Texas Cube, because there's a portal that formed over Texas, and then there was a portal to Norway Spiral where the Empire Orb came through, and all the presidents and world leaders of the pretty much like G11 or G12 countries were in Norway the night that occurred, and folks should go look all that up on YouTube, look up the Empire Orb, and look up the Texas Cube, because we've been watching it, and we're getting sightings for literally for the last month and a half, every day of the Cube, and I'm talking, we're getting them majorly in Europe. I mean, they've been really clear in Europe, and then I went outside the other day and sat there for about 3 hours, watched the Texas Cube, and it's got a side orb, and it puts off this really cool, similar pattern. And we've got so many sightings and so many pictures over the years, and all the matching, the markings match. It's just, I mean, goosebumps. And so, you know, and I don't like to talk a lot about the ETs because I don't want people to go, oh, you know, he's just full of, he's seeing, little green men. And I don't want to go there. That's why usually, I try to stick to the planets and the Object Cluster Group. But, I mean, we've seen so many sightings. This is phenomenal. And if you guys don't believe in this, it's really serious time that you jump on board with this, because this is proven. I mean, I have spent so much, and we have spent, Montana Sky Watchers too, we've been spending so much time seeing this has become literally like old hat.
So is it your, going back to the planets, is it your take that the major weather phenomenon that we're seeing. You know, everybody's talking about global warming and that it's causing these things. Are you saying that it's the planets, that global warming's also happening? Is it a combo or what?
Now,
what do you think?
The binary solar system that we are made of, there are two suns, two sets of planets, two groups, and they are attached to Hercubus, which is a massive, massive—I mean, it fills parts of our entire solar system, gas giant that holds the two stars together. Now, the second sun is larger than our sol, and it is currently co-orbiting with ours in a tandem thread link, and then Hercubus is behind them, and you can see pictures, evidence of that literally for the last 3 to 5 years as well. And you can, we see it in space pictures and everything. All you have to do is look at the dark spots. Don't pay attention to the light. Pay attention to the darkened pictures, and you'll start to see all of these planets. And eventually, if you find out where they are, which we do monthly drawings on Montana Skywatcher 2, and once you start to associate these patterns, you start to see it. And it's just like, oh, my God, it's there. Because I get so many pictures every day. I get hundreds of pictures sent to me from around the world, you know, from citizen scientists. And we're all putting this together, and it's fact now. They come in, they do their thing, and then we've seen patterns of them that they're heading away from us over time in a larger and larger loop within the last 4 years. They came up from below Earth, the subhorizontal, and that's why everybody was in the people who in the know went to, you know, Antarctica and went down to Australia to set up the SETI projects and everything to watch them coming in. And we watched them come in from Neumeyer Station for years, in which at some periods of time it was supposed to be dark down there, which is as normal. And for a few years there, Neumeyer Station was illuminated during times that they were supposed to be dark, which was another batch of proof that this was occurring, which is, you know, incensed us to even watch even more. And this has become so proven that, you know, if people don't get online with it, they're just basically silly, because the evidence is absolutely undeniably clear that these planets are here. The colors, the stripes, the patterns, all time after time, it's all the same. And people really need, you know, it's on YouTube. There's a lot of crap out there, too, where people are just totally lost and talking out their backsides. But it's really, really, really happening. And what's even cooler is that, you know, the quasi-cotal, the Texas cube, whatever you want to call it, is also from legend. And it also matches in the drawings and the actual pictures we're getting in. And I saw a video today somebody sent me where the Empire Orb is close passing Earth, and it's got like eight little glowing little UFOs flying past it. And, I mean, it argues with the mind when you see the video, because you tell yourself, nah, this has got to be Photoshop. And yet, my God, there's a refraction flare coming off the thing when it turns on its lights and everything else, and it's very much like a sighting where I personally did see the Empire Orb stop, drop out of the clouds, change direction and turn its blue central blue light on, and it was, I mean, we're talking pee your pants, and I watched this. So, you know, people have to, I mean, we're not full of beans, and we're not seeing fairies and pixies and sprites, which are two different groups, but anyway. This is very, very real, and people have to get on board with this, because the science is, I mean, we're coming up on 10 years.
Yeah, well,
millions of pictures.
Unfortunately, we're a minute or two away from the break, but when we come back, I definitely want to ask you, you know, I know we've covered this each time that we've talked, but I don't understand why, if this is all the case, why people would be keeping this from us, you know? And then the other question that I really want to address to you when we come back in line with that would be, why are they keeping it from us? And, you know, with such a drastic paradigm shift for people, you know, do they have anything to fear? So you're listening to Radio Wasteland. Our guest, Samuel Hoffman. If you're interested, check him out, Montana Skywatcher. And we're going to break, so come on back. Radio Wasteland, we're talking about Nibiru.
Yeah.
Just Are you looking for a place with a fun and relaxing atmosphere to unwind after a long workday? Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar has just what you're looking for. Easy to find at 2155 Hilltop Drive. Let owners Robert and Rhonda Hansen welcome you to your new favorite spot in town. Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar has a great selection of beer on tap, fine wines, weekly live music, and a food menu that's currently the best-kept secret in Reading. Open Tuesday through Saturday starting at 4. Clean, classy, and relaxing. Head to Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar. By far, the friendliest bar.
Riverfront Playhouse answers the question you didn't know you wanted to ask. What if the entire works of Shakespeare was summed up by the Three Stooges? Be prepared to laugh your artsy self silly as Tyler, Isaac, and Keith condense everything the Bard ever wrote into one 97-minute show. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, written by Long, Singer, and Winfield, directed by Jen Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, May 18th through June 15th.
Mako is back with another great deal, giving your car that shiny new Mako makeover. They're having a tax time special. Get 33% off a standard paint package. Bring your tax refund to Mako and make that faded, scratched, and weathered paint job look great again at affordable prices. Get quality, quick turnaround times, and all work is backed by the National Mako Warranty. Mako accepts all insurance and offers financing OAC with interest-free loans for up to a year. Come in today for a free estimate. Mako, America's Body Shop, on Crossroads Drive or MakoReading.com. Uh-oh, better get Mako.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM, with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland, right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Samuel Hoffman. We are talking about Nibiru. Samuel, so before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about, you know, that this should be so obvious. And so why would everybody push for us not to believe this? And ultimately, do people have anything to fear? You know, people, change is scary to people. You know, do they have anything to fear?
Yeah, they have a lot to fear. We have a lot to fear because when we talk about they or everybody, and the automatic assumption is it's one group. And it's not. There are multiple groups on Earth who, of course, have been let into some of this information over time through secret groups and cults and et cetera. And it is in the cabal, and there, you know, there is secret texts around where this discusses this openly. Even the Greeks knew that we had a binary solar system, and that information's out there. And then there is the off-Earth factions. And, of course, the people on Earth are trying to buy favor with the off-Earth factions, and there are number one, you know, the life forms on the planets here. And then there is the visiting life forms. The Draco are here. There's rumors of Octurian, and we know that there's multiple different craft hanging out around the sun right now because we've had nonstop proof of that. There's multiple factions here for the dual sun process that's going on, and that's what's known as the ascension. This is known as a living ascension. Now, the Mayan calendar refers to transition from the fourth age to the fifth age during the 13th Baktum, and you can look that up as well. factions are all playing for the golden ticket on the bus. And then there's a lot of people who know about the deep underground bases and stuff, and I hate to even mention that. But they do exist. I've been in one. They're deep. Frankly, you'll never get me back in one, and I wouldn't want to be having the world move over the top of me and leaving me down there anyway. But they're completely self-sufficient, and they've got everything they ever dreamt of down there, and they're still loading it to this day. And so they're going to, of course, when you see the rats start to scurry, and this will be all the way to the last minute, either when we lose like or world power from a major CME or we get hit by a larger asteroid, which NASA is currently warning over. And I'm amazed to this day we have not seen another Chelyabinsky event from the object cluster group with the asteroids. Not that all the big ones are going to miss us. There's going to be some stuff that's going to scrape off. And so we're going to get hit by something, and I'm amazed it hasn't happened yet. So I'm still looking to this summer, to this fall, through the 180-day cycle, when all of this stuff is recently drastically close at a certain recognizable pattern that we've seen from the last couple of years. Now, I don't know exactly if it's going to be the same this time. I know it's a lot closer. I know they're highly illuminated because once they pass into the light where we're looking at them instead of the illuminated side, instead of looking at their dark backsides and having to find them literally by you know, cloud definition and base clouds, which is also in some of my videos. It's called Understanding the Skies, Edition 1, Samuel Hoffman. It's on YouTube. That tells you the base cloud patterns and how to recognize it when the clouds enter our ionosphere and close past Earth. And then all these storms and cloud generations occur, and they have specific patterns that we have recognized and documented over the last 9 years. But back to the people. They don't want this. It's going to happen. There's going to be a culling of the herd like there is every cycle. And if you look back through history, and if you understand Sumerian texts and some of the information that is talked about, you have to understand the role of humans. We're on an Earth factory. We produce for the larger system. They come back every 3,654 years, collect their commodities that we provide for them. And there's a very large, large system at play here, and they're not going to drop their hand on the table until it's the last call.
So normally with fear, you know,
right.
There would be, but you can do this. You know, is there something that we can do?
That we can do?
Yeah.
Well, I was told some things by my meeting with the Pleiadian, and everything he's pretty much told me has been true. And this was a face-to-face. This was not some, you know, channeled or any far-seeing stuff, which I'm very good at. That's because that's what I was recruited for. But anyway, you can look that up, too. What I was told is that once the catastrophe will happen, now they expect this to happen because it's a reboot of all the commodities every cycle. The Earth breaks up and all kinds of, you know, new stuff gets made and et cetera, and all, you know, new oil, new gold, new this, platinum, gold, silver, everything, diamonds, whatever. It gets all made by the tectonic plates crashing and creating new stuff. And then there's far less of us to control. And I was told after the dust settles and like-minded communities start to form, they will then intervene and start the process again, which you could look at. It's like be prior to the first dynasty of Egypt, where they have direct contact with the gods, or when the Mayans and the Incans had direct contact with the gods.
Is that because of a planetary proximity? You know, I mean, like, well, when we're far apart, is it hard for them to get to us? Is that because...
No. These people, there's races that have the ability to move entire planets or create them to create space compounds in which to look like Earth is pretty much the sorcerer's stone. We create gold, and it's a very not normal thing. Gold has a positive ionization. It's a metal, and it luminesces, and it has all these vastly cool properties that a lot of people need to look into. And it's one of the soft metals group that has a different radioactive charge than everything else, and it's special.
I see. So the Earth itself is kind of the factory.
Excuse me?
The Earth itself is kind of the factory.
Yeah, we're a special place, and we're the backwater factory, but we're very special to a very large group of people. So they're not going to, the Earth will never be destroyed within a period of time that we could care to worry about. And it's cyclic, and we go through this, and we go through this, and then they come down, and they pick up the commodities, and this is why they're not telling people, because they want to collect as much commodities until they can, you know, before they leave, and we're talking tons and tons and thousands and hundreds of thousands of tons of gold that is collected from now, or the beginning of the next cycle, all the way until the end of the cycle, where the next cycle they come to get it and pick it up. and this happens over and over. And within the last government change of the people who own our area of space, the last 300,000 years, there has been 83.3 cycles. Just to the math.
Unfortunately, and we're
this
right
has been
here.
Going on. We are not the first civilization to achieve certain levels.
Well, unfortunately, Samuel, we're right here at the end of the show. I want to give a couple few minutes here for you to tell our listening audience where they can find out about you. Of course, I've touted your Facebook group here a little bit, but it sounds like you got a YouTube channel maybe you can tell us about.
I have most of my radio things and some of my earlier videos. Now, currently, I'm having trouble posting on YouTube because my new videos will not upload for some reason. And I've tried 4 days in a row to do one 11-minute video, and it wouldn't load. So I'm going to have to keep after these guys. I think they're stopping me. My 30-year non-disclosure agreement ended in 2010, but that doesn't mean they stopped watching me. You can see my materials on Montana Skywatcher 2, because that's the open site where everybody can come. And, you know, we just about let everybody in there. Montana Skywatcher 1 is for closed group and more seasoned members. And we talk about a few different things here and there, but we're generally, they're both pretty much the same site, except two is way more active. A lot more people are busy from around the world, and we talk and discuss things. And if you'd like to send a small donation, you know, $5 in a card, P.O. Box 625, Lolo, Montana, 59847. And, you know, keep listening to Radio Wasteland because you guys have got, you know, the best guests in the whole world, me included. I've been a little bragging there.
Well, I appreciate that push. And this is your third time on.
I noticed you had a couple of my competitors that I really wish you hadn't actually even given them 5 minutes of their time. But
we got to get it out there. Yeah.
I can't run the world.
Well, somebody does.
Actually, a lot of somebodies. And then everybody's trying to, you know, get all the Cheetos before the dog does.
Well, Samuel, it's been great having you back on. We're going to have to do it again.
And I'd like to thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. It has been a great show. You've been listening to Samuel Hoffman here on Radio Wasteland. Check us out at radiowasteland.us. Check him out on YouTube and Montana Skywatchers 2
right
on Facebook.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.